The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. In echoes of the prophet Isaiah and Mary's song of praise, Jesus reveals surprising things about who enjoys blessing and who endures woe. He invites his disciples to shower radical love, blessing, forgiveness, generosity, and trust, even to enemies and outsiders. I begin reading at verse 20. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The words of the Beatitudes from Matthew's Gospel is probably more familiar to us than these words from Luke. In Matthew's Gospel, the Beatitudes are written in a very beautiful way. The words tend to flow, and I think we read them probably more often. Here in Luke's Gospel, though, we see the Beatitudes too, but there's something that's much more stark about them, something that drives home the point, maybe even more so than Matthew's Gospel. These words are incredible. And as we look at these words and these promises in here, they sound almost too good to be true. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Or, if you're hungry now, you will be filled. If you're crying now, you will laugh. If people hate you and make fun of you, you should have joy. It sounds too good to be true. It almost sounds like a con is going on. Somebody's trying to con us. I think as we grow up, people make promises to us that are broken. We see advertisements on TV and the products look great until we go to the store and buy them, and then they don't work as they've been advertised, or they just simply fall apart. We've been disappointed so many times in promises that people have made for us. And I think as we get older, we get a little bit jaded. And we realize that if it sounds too good to be true, it usually is. I don't know how many of you remember the old movie. It was an old musical. I'm not much one for musical, but this one was appropriate. It was called The Music Man. If you remember that movie. In that movie, there was a con artist. He came into a small town, and the setting of this movie is back in the time when it was before digitized music. It was before the iPods. It was before the Walkmans. It was before tape players. It was before 8-track tape players. It was before records. If you wanted to listen to music, You had to hear somebody perform. It had to be live, or you yourself had to make that music. And so here this con artist comes into this town and says, I can revive this town. I can give it a whole new spirit. What we're going to do is we are going to build a community band here in this town. And if you remember some of those promises that he made, he says, there'll be 96 trumpets leading, or trombones leading the parade, and 110 cornets close to follow. And he was painting this beautiful picture of all this wonderful music that this town could play, and teaching their children to be musicians. And they would have beautiful uniforms with colorful material and brass buttons and gold braid, the whole works. And he was making all these promises, and he was saying, all you have to do is sign up and prepay, and we'll get all this stuff here, and I'll teach you how to have a community band, and it will uplift the spirit of this whole community. His plan was to collect the money and never buy the instruments and just simply skip town. It was a con. These words here in Luke's gospel almost sound like that same kind of con. If you're hungry now, don't worry, you will be filled. If you're sad now, don't worry, you're going to be happy. If people hate you or they revile you, you ought to be happy. You ought to rejoice. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I think some preachers have taken this maybe in a wrong direction. Particularly those in large media preachers. I know I was reading a book by one of these TV preachers. And in that book, he was telling an anecdote of how he was able to pray and that God would grant whatever he would want. And the anecdote in there then was that someone was driving around the parking lot. They were tired of shopping, and they were just praying to God, please, find me a parking spot that's close to the front doors. And sure enough, a parking lot opened up for him. I think that type of theology is a theology of glory. When we make demands of God, and if we pray in the right way, that God's going to grant that. Or if we pray hard enough, or if we have faith strong enough, God will heal us. God will do whatever we demand of him as long as we do it in the right way. It's a theology of glory. And it's very, very shallow, because we miss then the depth of what Christianity truly is and what it's all about. Here, as we read Luke's gospel, there is very much a reality in this world. Jesus isn't just saying, if you're weeping, get over it. Pray harder. He's not saying that. What he's saying is that he's there beside us to lead us through those types of situations. That we aren't alone and struggling in the things of this world. In Christianity, there is no promise that we will never suffer. Because we do suffer. But yet, Jesus is saying that even though we do suffer, our people do ridicule us for the sake of the gospel, we will be blessed. There is blessings with us. What I so much enjoy about reading the Bible is the humanness of it all, of the characters within all those Bible stories, and the things that they go through, the struggles that they have to get through. But yet God is still right there beside them. Whether they're going through a shipwreck, or if they're going through a famine, or if they've gone through a terrible love crisis, or even when they have gone through the midst of wars or famines or pestilence, God is still able to bring good out of the midst of that. But what I really like about that is the humanness. That these characters in the Bible are actually living through the same things that we live through today. And these are simply their stories of faith and how God has interacted with them and did not abandon them through any of this. This gospel lesson here from Luke, these Beatitudes, really brings that out, brings it clear. Jesus doesn't just say, get over it. It'll pass. What he's saying is that I'm right there in the midst of the struggles with you. And if we remember that story of Jesus Christ, the greatest struggle of all, his cross and his resurrection, that suffering is real. And that many times we do go through it. We suffer through it. Today is a wonderful day. Today is a great day. We see all of this reality of life today in our worship service and later on this afternoon. We start our service off with a baptism, a celebration that God has taken a new soul into his kingdom, that a new soul has joined us in this body of Christ. As Carbon was baptized, we heard those promises that he will receive eternal life and that he is a blessing here to his parents and to us as his community, that he has joined us in this mission to serve Christ. And then a little bit later on in the service today, we see another milestone of nine young, well, it's eight today. I had one last night, but nine young students who are taking communion for the first time, who are receiving that body and that blood of Christ, who are receiving the actual presence of Jesus Christ and consuming him, of Christ coming into our lives. And we see that greatness, and we hear those words of forgiveness and that strength for faith in our life. And then later on this afternoon, we celebrate the life and the death Robert Meischen. We remember that life and that death of Robert Meischen. We celebrate that life of think of all those years, 100 years of faithful worship, of praise to God, of how many times did he take Holy Communion, remembering the baptism as he was a child 100 years ago and was baptized. And we celebrate that life. And today is All Saints Day. As we remember those in our congregation who have joined God in the church triumphant over this past year. Of all these people who served on committees, who served on council, who prepared meals for us to eat, who taught our children in Sunday school, who made blankets to be sent overseas, who made decisions within our congregation, who helped shape and mold us and work together with us in the ministry of this congregation. And we celebrate and we remember their lives as well then too. And we give thanks to God that we were a part of that. So many wonderful things today. And it all strikes back to that reality of life, of who we are and what God has created us to be as his children, as his holy children. And even as his holy children, we do go through struggles. We go through times of grief. We go through times of pain. We go through times of worry. But yet at the same time, God continues to bless us in this life. And he also gives us the blessing of eternal life, which is still yet to come. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.